Chapter 22, A Parable and Hope's Harvest. Questioning with themselves the barley grains resting in the seah, the Jewish dry measure, complained among themselves because they had not been created wheat. "Why need I have been made of so little worth?" murmured each grain to itself. "Why be made to go out into the great world and yet never be laid before the rich and the great, but made to feed the poor, the lowly, those in want? If only I could have been beautiful wheat, then it would have been worthwhile to have tried to do my best. As it is, hardly is it worth an effort." Day after day, the barley grains continued murmuring until even life itself seemed a useless thing. But one day a new thought came. Each barley grain asked itself, "Why not be willing to do my little best just as far as I'm able? Why not forget about myself and try and make the world more comfortable because I was created?" This thought grew and grew until one day the barley grain said softly, "The will of my Creator shall be my loftiest ideal. I am willing to be plain and of little worth, made to feed the lowly poor, but whatever I do, I will do my best." Then the barley rested in the thought, and great peace came. Early one morning, not long after this, a woman bent over her seah that held her barley and, with a little dish, carried some of the grains to the millstones outside of the door. A neighbor came, and they sat down on the ground next to their task, the woman holding the little dish of barley in her hand. How beautifully shone the sun! How warm and comfortable and peaceful and happy were the barley grains as they rested in the dish! How willing they were to accept whatever came into their lives, because whatever came would be the will of the Creator, and He knew what would be the best for them. If only we can be made into perfect barley loaves fit to be placed before a king, even though it is offered to the poor, and a king never sees the loaves, we will be satisfied. If only made perfect at last, we are willing to endure any trial in preparation for such service, they said. The Creator of the barley grains heard and replied, "For such a purpose you were created, but to become all you are capable of becoming will require self-abnegation, perseverance, and great courage. The reward is only to those who endure to the end. Are you able?" The barley grains thought of the beautiful, round, thin cakes that came from the little clay oven one day not very long before, and to become such barley cakes seemed, for a moment, to be the most beautiful thing in the world. So, in a spirit of longing, they cried out, "We are able." They knew nothing of the darkness and agony of the grinding mill, the pain of the shaping process, or the oven fires. They thought only of the final result, of becoming the very thing for which they were created. What mattered all the preparatory work if only, at the last, they accomplished this mission? What mattered anything if only they could be of use in the world and please their Creator? The Creator heard their answers, knew their thoughts, and He replied, "Very well. My will for you always has been complete perfection, and if my will is your will, so let it be." It was a pleasant day. The sky was clear, the air soft and balmy. The women did not hasten that early spring morning in Adar, March, for they never hastened. The day was before them, and there seemed to be a strange beauty and sweetness in the day, such as they had never known before. They looked off to the fields where the grass lay drying in the morning sun, down to the narrow river far away that went creeping southward in the bright sunshine to enter the upper end of the lake below. In the warm spring breeze, the palm trees nodded their plumed heads, and the valley smiled up to the mountains away at the north, while the overarching sky, like a great dome of love and tender care, was bending over all. "This is life," exultingly thought the barley grains. "What beauty, luxury, happiness there is in this world, and I am right in the midst." And the grains nestled more closely together in selfish ease, never thinking of anything but to enjoy themselves. The woman who had her barley cakes to make put her hand into the cup, and taking the grains, she sifted them through her fingers, dropping them on the upper stone so that they sank down through the hole and rested beneath. Then, with hands on the handle, the two women began to grind, all the time singing a monotonous tune as they turned the upper stone round and round. "Oh, oh, I shall die! I cannot endure this," the barley cried out in agony. "It is cruel to take away all the beauty, the sweetness, the fragrance of my life at one stroke. I must call out to be put back in the measure. I had rather be of no use in the world than to suffer like this." But the voice of the barley was hushed as the stone still turned, taking off the brown outer husk and making the pure white kernel ready for use. But the Creator heard, above the grinding of the stones, the agony of the cry. But he remembered those earlier aspirations and hopes and prayers, and had already counted them as fruits of righteousness. The springtime of desire had been seen by him, and in that desire he had seen the autumn in gathering. The women turned the meal until the meal was ready for the cake. Then one woman took her scant measure of barley and put it into her wooden bowl. The meal gave a sigh of relief, for, strange as it seemed, though bruised and full of pain, life still remained, and there was the beginning of a strange feeling of a new gladness because of new experiences. But this is not as comfortable as was the bright sunshine and the resting in the siyah, said the barley to itself. This environment is not to my liking. I almost think I should like to go back to the easy, outdoor spring sunshine. I wonder why I am in a dish like this. Like this! And here the voice of the barley grains was smothered as a dash of water came over the meal, and the woman's hands pressed it down, down, until it was impossible to cry out, and so at last it became plastic in her hands. The kneading process went on, and then the leaven was added. "Oh, oh, was I created for such a purpose as this?" the barley grain murmured to itself. But in the quiet and the calm that followed, there came the remembrance of those moments of exaltation when it had asked to become all it was capable of becoming, had asked to be made into perfect barley cakes, had really desired to be multiplied and fulfill its mission in helping to feed a hungry world. "This is what I chose of my own will," it said to itself with a sigh of resignation instead of with a sigh of satisfaction. "I do not know the process, but I will be patient and wait, simply doing my little best to help develop my best into the best barley cake that ever was made." "Character is made by unseen influences," said the barley a little later, as it began cheerfully to work in helping the leaven of grace and beauty to permeate its own nature all through the batch of dough in the kneading bowl. Small beginnings grow into mighty forces. Faithfulness in that which is least is the grace for which I must strive. To be shut in and work in this silent way, doing the next duty, is now my mission, and that for which I earnestly ask is patient endurance. And the dough remains sweet, doing its best to assimilate all the leaven possible. But, alas, the spirit of self-will had not wholly died out. There must yet come new experiences to the barley mill. It was beaten and beaten, molded, torn apart, and then pressed and flattened into shape. Sometimes to the bruised and aching grain, the blows seemed more in anger than in love. Nothing but a like suffering barley cake could know all the agony and endurance. But at last the brave but submissive little cakes lay silent under the shaping hand. And then the cakes, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, many times multiplied by the leaven and the discipline, were laid aside. How the grain rejoiced that it was beginning to see the reason and the result of its creation! But the work was not done. Still must the penetrating influence of the leaven go on, gradual in advancement, silent in its ministry. How calm and sweet was the peace of this hour! The cakes knew they were not finally perfected, but life seemed full of beauty. There was gladness for the past, peace for the present, and trust for the future. But the little portable clay oven was already being heated with the grass and weeds that grew around. "Oh, oh," again cried the barley grain as it found itself in sorest agony and pain's furnace heat. But now it only cried out in pain, and from the hottest fires never asked to be removed. It saw not far away the end for which it was created. Other cakes had endured the same furnace heat. All it asked now was to be strong and of good courage. The Creator's will was its will. A few hours later, the five cakes were upon a table, thinking of what they had endured to reach the end for which they were first created. They smiled to themselves in sweetest content. The pain, the dread, the agony were things of the past. The cakes remembered it all, but remembered only to wonder why it had been thought hard to endure when there was such a glorious result in view. The woman spoke in approving tones of the work done by the barley grain, and rejoiced that her own labor had not been in vain. She called her little son, and when she had put the five loaves with two small dried fishes into his little basket, they both went out by the shore of the sea to hear the great rabbi. He had come into their country for a time of quiet with his 12, but a great multitude had followed him across the upper end of the sea, and the mother and the son, with this little lunch basket, went out to hear the great rabbi. Oh, what a crowd! The sick had been brought to be healed, the blind had come that sight might be given, the deaf that good news might be heard, the lame wanted to walk, and the burdened souls wanted relief from their burdens. The great rabbi talked to the people. He told them that salvation was for them. They listened. They saw the light dimly. They forgot the hunger of the body in the greater hunger of their souls. They sat on the hillside with upturned faces absorbed in the tender words of love and sympathy that fell from the lips of the great teacher. They forgot that it was nearing nightfall and they were far from home. Above them was the form of him they had followed. Away to the north were the barren hilltops. The villages were distant, and the boats were few that were drawn up on the beach out of the way of the cool, sweet waters of the sea below. Sheep as without a shepherd, tenderly thought the rabbi, as he looked upon the eager, heart-hungry throng. The practical ones of the disciples suggested that the people be told to go and get themselves food. But those who were glad to get new hints of helpfulness from the Master looked about them to see how they could be most helpful. Andrew, faithful Andrew, found the boy with the five barley loaves and two small fishes. The lad had been so eager to hear the rabbi, he had forgotten his lunch basket. The Master asked for the five barley loaves. Oh, the inexpressible delight, the perfect bliss of being placed in his hands, recognizing in him the Creator who had made the barley grains. They quivered in ecstasy as they realized they were in the hands of their Maker, who had stooped to earth to raise earth to heaven, who had come from heaven to bring heaven to earth. It was all true that he was the Creator of the barley grains, and it had taken months to grow the grain from the time of seed sowing to harvest. And what a miracle of love! The constant, watchful care of soil, sunshine, and rain. It had taken hours to make the bread, from grain to loaves, and what wisdom and knowledge from the infinite had given the skill to the house mother's hands. The loaves thought of this as they lay in his hand and rested in his power. Through each part, kernel of the barley grains, came a thrill of a new life, and God and nature, at God's command, hastened the process. And the loaves grew so that each fed 1,000 hungry men, beside hundreds of women and children. 1,000 years are as 1 day. 1,000 loaves are no more to create than 1 loaf. Little or much, much or little, makes no difference in the hands of our Lord. He can make bread in his own way as easily as in the way he taught nature and mortals to work. And 5,000 men were fed, besides the women and children. Was the lad grieved because he gave up his basket to the Master? Was the woman glad or sorry that she did her best when she made her barley loaves? And did the barley grains complain because they had not been wheat, Or did they regret the grinding, the shaping process, or the furnace fires? The sun sank lower and lower toward the horizon. The multitude, hushed and saved by the teaching of the bread of life and the wonderful miracle performed before their eyes, remained seated, looking at the fragments of bread as they dropped nearer and nearer each other in ecstasy of joy into the 12 baskets, each rejoicing in the part it had in the work of the hour. And later, was it any wonder the people wanted to make Jesus their king? No matter what their motive, was it any wonder?